and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Matthew 7:25. The peace of Christ be with his saints wherever you are. How's your foundation holding up? Isn't life a funny thing? Well, here we live it. It is still a Babylonian-style captivity where we conduct our business in the midst of societal debauchery, insanity, and sin, even within the confines of the camp of God's elect. There is no calm before the storm, folks. It is the storm which presently surrounds God's elect and the blind world. As the elect, with inner peace, wait patiently for the true calm to come, either physical death or the return of God's Savior, while they yet live and suffer the savage world for Jesus Christ. Please suffer me to muse for a few minutes, brethren. I want to address a storm within a storm here, namely the cheap grace sales pitch. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Now, speaking of the thief, killer, father of lies, the rage of the enemy grows and grows with every tick of the clock. The lie grows stronger with every iteration of the ease by which people can save themselves straight into eternal bliss. Easy believism is sold to the general public using only choice, simplistic, out-of-context phrases from the Holy Scripture. The old, you make a decision for Christ without so much as a fleeting regard or teaching about who calls and who chooses and why. There's no regard for the workings of God's Holy Spirit. No, you choose Jesus whether his Father has chosen you to follow him or not. You see? Just invite Jesus into your life and send a letter to the man or the woman by whom you were saved. It's that easy, huh? Yeah, to the many, it is. I hear the salvation prayers offered by the sideshow preachers at the end of their pabulum-ridden shows. They never include anything scripturally and doctrinally sound. Especially and consistently absent is emphasis on repentance and recognition of who called. Yes, okay, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and your butts are saved. John 6, godly sorrow, brokenness, humility, surrender to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, recognition of the calling, far more profound than accepting Jesus to obtain release from an unprofitable lifestyle. Cheap grace, anyone? Onion rings with that? And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter 2:3. Trophies of the dead hang around the necks of today's canine evangelists. They will show these to Jesus before he tells them he knows not where they're coming from, to paraphrase Luke 13:25. Or worse yet, they'll bark about their achievements for Jesus, and guess what? Jesus will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's worse yet, huh? It mystifies me that so many can brazenly claim to be empowered to save even one soul, even simply by virtue of their silly warnings, of their skewed visions of tribulation or hell. You are hell, ministers, my deluded friends in ministry. I am sorry, but none can be frightened into the arms of God or his Son. True believers are not called by fear-mongering angels of light to be afraid of the dark as a reason to accept Jesus. What easy prey are those cash cows in the present world upon whom have befallen loss and misery? Just accept Jesus that I have brought you, and voila, problem solved. And the donations pour in. I do not and will never apologize for saying to you who blandly add to the satanic din of confusion in the name of the Lord, be accursed. The majority will never repent. Business is too good. I have a closing benediction here. In the words of the Apostle Peter, these foolish men and women I spoke of are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Many whitewashed sepulchres face a dark eternity for being the very willing instruments of Satan's work to deceive and destroy. And the true saints of the living God can discern quite well the light from the darkness. This easy fix, babbling, has always been in vain, though, as much as we hear it everywhere. All this doctrinal nonsense, or non-doctrinal nonsense, brings glory to God anyway. But you'll not find treasures in heaven for your work. Chew on that one until you cross over to your judgment. Yeah, I'm willing to wait to see what comes out in the wash. Maybe you'll repent. Meantime, enjoy your fantasies and preeminence and your prophets. Well, I'm all mused out, I suppose. Now let's step right up for the salvation du jour. Now we skip merrily to a salvation doctrine which surpasses all other salvation doctrines. How about universal reconciliation? Universalism, the opiate of troubled theologians and junkies of easy believism. A doctrine that teaches that all people will be saved no matter what. What? Okay. Why take up your cross? In Christian theology, universal reconciliation, also called universal salvation, Christian universalism, or in context simply universalism, is the doctrine that all sinful and alienated human souls, because of divine love and mercy, will ultimately be reconciled to God. The main argument for universalism is that a good and loving God would not condemn people to eternal torment in hell. Some universalists believe that after a certain cleansing period, God will free the inhabitants of hell and reconcile them to himself. Others say that after death, people will have another opportunity to choose God. For some who adhere to universalism, the doctrine also implies that there are many ways to get into heaven. 1 Peter 4:18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" Well, they'll be universally reconciled to God. What's the problem, Peter? Such a strange and blasphemous doctrine runs counter to the teaching of the Bible, that all who are called to Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God to return to God will be united to Christ and eternally saved. But not all people in general. Many are called, few are chosen, Matthew 22:14. And then there's the biggest chunk is the ungodly world out there who don't give a rip. Jesus Christ taught that those who reject him as Savior will spend eternity in hell after they die. Can we read Matthew 10:28 and 23:33 and 25:46 and Luke 16:23 and John 3:36? But hey, I could be wrong, right? You hope so, don't you? Okie dokie. If it's even easier than ordering up a burger and onion rings, well then, I think I'm going to dump this silly, hard, fictitious, narrow way walk and relieve myself of the empty hands, contrite approach before a God I should now pay no mind to. It's almost as easy as annihilationism. Wow. It's I in high gear. It's back to my old haunts and ways, and I will repent of my repentance, live like hell, and respectfully tell Jesus that he shouldn't have gone to all that trouble with that cross. Well, Jesus, didn't you get the memo? Yeah, think of it, friends. You won't have to wake up next to your piles of wealth and your goods and your cush living and your whores and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior later on. So, back to bed now. Rock on, boys and girls. Oh, and please do forget Luke 9:23. And he said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, if we're all going to be universally reconciled in the end, who cares about taking up a cross every day? We just said that Jesus wasted his time. Easy believism, universalism, annihilationism, law-keeping, or no salvation. The new and improved name of God, which, by the way, Jesus gave us in Matthew 6:9. Or no salvation. Tongues and signs or no salvation. Believing in the word of the prophet. Did I leave any choice doctrine out? Yeah, well, probably. But I need another Rolaids right now. You think I'm hard. You think I'm critical. Well, it's your own head and your deceived heart that think that way. So go ahead and think what you want. I could give a rip about my rep. Folks, you don't know me. Few do. Fewer need to. I'm not out for your souls or trophies or your stinking money. Would help to keep the ministry broadcast on the radio, but I tell people to send it to the radio station, not to me. I still ain't got two nickels to rub together. I've been given to guide and to warn, and to edify by Scripture in the spirit of Christ's doctrine. So if that's a bit too bland for you, shake the dust off and beat it back to your little fake Christian utopias. I could care less. The storm before the calm which is the return of Jesus, is upon the whole shooting match, the globe. Take ear to this, saints. The storm is raging and the fire is coming down as we speak. It's a storm of lies, utter hypocrisies, and damnable blasphemies. Our calm approaches, and it is not only dead ahead, but always within us. Jesus Christ, you know, the Jesus who didn't seem to get the new salvation doctrine memo, told us in Luke 17:21 that the kingdom of God where we live is within us. Is this kingdom in chaos, replete with wide open windows and doors to the strange and utterly demonic doctrines of the Christian world? I say nay. We, his saints, are at peace and justified through Jesus Christ before God the Father. Matthew 10:33 states, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And doesn't the doctrine of universalism deny Jesus Christ, the way, truth, and life, his death and resurrection? Does in my book, the book. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. Yeah, this is the Son of God who didn't seem to get the memo, I see. Well, before Jesus is relegated to the dustbin, I'll remind you what he also said in Mark 13:13. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Not endure unto the second resurrection or the first resurrection or the third resurrection. No. Now. Brethren, after the storm has beaten against your spiritual house, then comes the final calm, either in departure from this veil of tears or at the glorious coming of Jesus Christ the Lord. You keep that in mind. Endure until the end. I love you all, my brethren in Christ, wherever you are. And I am done here. Thanks for stopping by. Get your shields up. You keep to the road with Jesus. May Father's merciful quietness and confidence through Jesus Christ be with you all until the storm ends and the calm comes. Amen.